was introduced this year, the Light and Building Trade Fair in Frankfurt for the first time. I'm not going to make a full presentation, it's a no marketing event either, although it's hardly a commercial product. I'd rather like to give some insights in how Radiant's ideas end up in tools which are used by the general community, also, of course, tools which are used by people without a scientific degree. It's not necessary to have one to be able to use the programs. And if you've been wondering about the name, I can assure you it is real. I have to make it a bit louder here. Well, this is not my mother and me making chamber music at home, but it is the official music they are presenting on the webpage from Zumtobel, one of the project partners. But we are here in the School of Architecture, not in the School of Music, so there we go. I've shown you that page also because it really directly explains the idea in one image. On the right side there is a rendering, and now this rendering is not done once, but several times, and in each of the separate renderings, only one of the different luminaire groups was switched on, and afterwards, you can easily change the lighting scenario by a simple image superposition. Now this here is a flash animation on the web, but it shows the general idea. As we have HDR image in the background, of course, this still is not only for playing around with the light, but you still have valuable data. Now you also see that the tool is directed to not really scientific applications. As we have HDR images behind, we can do sound calculations, but of course, think about modern light sources, tunable LEDs and all that stuff. So there's also a need for tools to offer a more playful and more intuitive approach. And lighting is not always just about 500 lux and sound figures and data and all that stuff. So think about a different user group and different range of application. Now this is a nice introduction. Now I think everybody knows what the whole thing is about. The whole work wasn't done by me alone. There are at the moment three or four project partners. Zumtobel, a quite innovative lighting manufacturer based in Austria, David's home country. TNG, it's a smaller company from Germany. They're dealing with all sorts of 3D stuff, also development, also contract work. Later in the stage, Relux joined the team. Relux, of course, you might know. It's a general lighting design software, like Dialox, like AGI 32, this sort of thing. Relux, of course, has integrated Radiance as a calculation kernel, or at least now it's a variant of Radiance. It's not directly original Radiance anymore, so that's for the connection. I was an employee at Relux for the last 5.5 years. I was responsible for the Radiance-based ray tracing functionality within Relux, and I've decided by my own free will to continue again as a freelancer. So the last line there, that's me. But I'm still working closely connected to Relux, just that I'm not in Switzerland anymore. I moved back to Germany. I always like to look back a bit because this gives some very much insight. So any historic thing about Radiance starts with the magic date 88. When Radiance was first published. Now, quite a bit later, 2005, the guys at TNG had this idea of the concept, which I have just shown you with the sliders to build up a simple tool for HDR superposition. They convinced Zumtobel to spend money on it, and already the first release was published 2006. Now, there is one interesting side effect with that first release. Of course, they were fascinated about the HDR image, about the possibilities this offers, and in the end, that first release had to work without HDR image information. And they have, of course, the option there within, but they had to implement the second channel And that's simply because the Radius HDR format is not, or was not available in a widespread form at that time. Programs like Dialux, Relux, and so on, they simply didn't output HDR images. You have to know that this is why I've called it a political issue in the abstract. There are lots of other issues coming into play as soon as you enter the commercial field and the real world. Zumtobel closely cooperated with Dialux. The business model behind these general lighting softwares, Dialux and Relux, is that the luminaire companies, they finance the development, so the program is free to use for the designers. But of course, the interest of the companies is that their data get distributed via that software. Designers use their luminaires, so they finally end up in real installations, so they can make some money out of it. So of course, for a company like Zumtobel, it was a vital aspect that users with Dialux and Relux, well, the first time Dialux, because they cooperated closely with them, were able to use this tool, and so they had to do the tedious job to implement the secondary channel to overcome the problem that HDR has not yet arrived in that mainstream area. They did it somehow with two images, two low-DR images, one false color image and some tabular data probably to give some anchor point. I wasn't involved at that stage. It's not a question how they done it, but it's just a quite interesting point, a bit weird point that they had to do it still in 2006. Another funny side effect is that Relux integrated Radiance in 2002, so we already could do Radiance simulations with Relux, R-Trace and R-Pict, but they simply forgot the option to save as HDR. Could just save the images as JPEG or view them with an exposure slider. The HDR was in the background and you can view the exposed image on the screen, but you simply couldn't save it. Because they at that time still judged that it was not worthwhile because no one in that general mainstream area was really working with it. Now, of course, this is not really bearable, so the next step was quite simple. They contacted us and Relux, and the first was to provide this HDR export. Then another point was problematic at that stage. There was still, I'm repeating myself, think this, it's not Radiance, it's not the scientific community. They are using very simple tools, they are quite straightforward. They don't do scripting and set up process chains, piping one output into another and so on. So doing that simple mode of calculating one scene several times, depending on how much luminaire groups you have, how much daylight states you enter if you run the sequence, was a very tedious job because you had to do it all by hand. So the next step, quite simple, to integrate another calculation mode which does this task automatically. For you to catch up with it, you can interpret this as some sort of an alternative approach to the general RT contrib idea. You have a scene with several light sources, either daylight sequence or luminaire groups, and then you just do separate calculations. Now here, of course, then all the separate calculations are bundled together in a certain special file format, which is then opened in the dynamic module, and then you can start pulling the slides. Once we have arrived at that point, of course, the last part, last section, actual development that we have reached now, was to integrate this interface with the sliders, the dynamic tool, already into the general Relux interface. So now the people have all in one module. That's quite a state where now we can live with. And if you now, from this point on, look back and you see that this time span of 24 years, which is quite incredible for just a simple idea, that it took so long to become part of the general issues, the general software. Also, of course, you see that one idea alone is not much worth if the surroundings are not fit for it. So this is, I think, a general topic which can be seen also in other actual fields. So it's quite instructive to think about in this manner also. And the long gaps between are mostly not connected to lots of development work, but these are anecdotal business aspects, who cooperates with whom. So this is at least also one of the things I want to present a bit. It's not only just about technological development science and new ideas, but there's a lot of hard work going on behind the scenes to make that thing in the end really work for the general community. So, from the politics now to the technology, which is a bit easier, I'm going to focus on that, what happened in the last 2 years, 2011 and 2012. This first step, how I did this automatic export, and I show a little bit about the program itself, of course. Now, this was also my contribution to the whole project. I had to set up this mode to calculate one scene and several variants at the same time. And the main point, which was a goal from my point of view, was to shield the user as much as possible from the complexity. So it should be as easy as possible for them to automatically generate this input. And I've prepared something to explain this. Now this is the Relux interface with a very simple scene. You have two luminaires, two switching groups, a row here and a single luminaire and a window. Of course, it is a very simple demonstration. And our customers are users so far, they're used to click on calculation, ray tracing. This is a very old-fashioned interface, but at least there is one. In the 5 years when I've been at Relux, I have not managed to renew that thing because there was so many other work to do. And they set views, time, daylight and time, lighting mode, parameters, and so on. Later they just click on start, and then the thing goes off. That's what they have been used to so far. I'm canceling this here because it's not. I just want to show you the way to do the calculations. And with the new mode, it's of course just the same. Switch this off here, switch this on. Also I can set lighting mode, parameters, set view. The only thing, of course, people have to think about more is A, how to sort their luminaires into the switching groups, and that they will have to do anyway during the scene setup. And if they want to have a daylight sequence, then they have, of course, enter the data which sequence they want to have. I have provided a simple dialogue where you can generate an automatic sequence based on starting point, interval, and repetition. Also can do some manual overriding, like here, produce a sequence with changing sky conditions, partly sunny, then changing to overcast. So it's very simple and straightforward. And then you click on start, and then the calculation goes off like in the other case. So there's not much different thinking concerning the calculation. Now then, once the calculation is finished, they can directly switch the program to the dynamic simulation mode, and this integration of two programs currently means a complete switch. Doing this here, don't panic. It's a very old machine, a 7-year-old laptop running Linux, Windows on a virtual machine, and it still works. But hard disk access is just quite long. Also, the Vivaldi module was programmed in .NET, and Relux is native Windows Core, so there is still a bit of communication issues. And then you are directly at the module for dynamic situation simulation, and then you can pull your sliders or activate a separate daylight time. These are the inputs. You can here switch to a different daylight state. But this is just a simple example. I'm stopping here already because this was just meant to show you the way how to come to that input, and it's very easy for the people. As we are, I'm showing a more elaborate example for the, from the whole interface later. As we are here on the workshop, I will of course give some insight on how I did this separate calculations. First of all, I wanted to use the ambient cache, so I'm not using rtcontrib. Also, I wanted to avoid problems with file sharing, so parallelizing one process with combined access sub-process to the ambient file. It's not that easy on Windows. And the last point is something visualization issue, which comes clearly, comes more clear in a minute. So I use a very simple approach of starting multiple RPC processes. I've prepared some of the, my diagrams which show something without really explaining all, but you see the lower part of the lines, that this should be known to everybody. Somehow you get your scene geometry, called OConf, then called RPICT, and this set here inside is just a hint that within Relux you don't use original radians, but a variant that had some additional functionality which became necessary due to the integration into the framework. There's a lot of different demands users have, so the original radiance functionality had to be enhanced in this or that way. And for the parallel calculations, I now provide an additional export mode where I write out information about the switching group states, different sky conditions. And I've equipped the RZPICT module with the capability to read in this information and set the necessary adjustments. And then you can provide several output, different outputs based on the same scene geometry on the same octave. We even could do a switch during runtime, of course, it would make no sense. And here you also see one, it's a tiny reason, it's a visualization issue, which was also important why I could not use rtcontrib directly. As far as I understand rtcontrib, it collects contributions from the light sources and puts them into different bins in a very coarse way, it's spoken in a very coarse way. But here, of course, you have also to... Where is the light?
The red button.
Yeah. Here, of course, you have the problem that the lumina which is switched on looks very different than the lumina which is switched off. So you cannot do this in one process, display lumina in that state and the other state in the same rendering process. So that's why we need to have a more, bit more separation in the processes. This, of course, has to do also with the rather complex lumina model I have provided, which is an additional functionality and not in, included in classic radiance. So, I better not go into much details. So far, a little bit of how it is done, and of course, also important aspect is to what is done. So, adding up HDR images and making an interactive superposition isn't really a big thing. But it can become quite useful if you add this, if you enhance this with additional information. And in the practical use case, you have the product info of the luminaires, you have their power consumption, including standby power, and you of course have dimming characteristics. Normally, if you regulate power or voltage output, and doesn't mean that lighting changes in the same way as the there are several lamp types have different characteristics and color temperature and these controls. So these are all combined together with the separate HDR images. And then, of course, you also need the interface which makes use of these data. While you're dimming, while you're regulating, you still automatically can calculate the energy which is used in that state. Then, of course, if you provide functions for dimming a light source depending on time. This editing of the curve needs an interface. You can import pre-created curves. You can still do further combinations of your switching groups. Unfortunately, you cannot separate them. If you once have them in one HDR image, you cannot rip it apart again. But you can do further combinations of your switching groups images. And you can also do some short lighting evaluation based on the image. And so there is a lot of functionality which is centering around that simple idea of HDR image superposition, which makes this quite useful in the practical work. And therefore, now we'll show you that promised somewhat more elaborate example. Here. Now for users who love the command line, it's probably a bit of horror. For the other, it's just the other way around. In the center there is the superposition result, and you have now various functionality. For example, you have can enter calculation planes. This is a bit limited because they only started image on an image-based way and still trying to convince them of a different approach. But you can set image evaluation planes if you know additionally know which coefficient of reflection that surface has. You even can do convert the data into illuminances. And then when you do your adjustment, let me see if this is a bit difficult here to catch the point. And change that intensity output of the lumina, you still see that the values are changing, so you can adjust your luminaires and still have some sort of control if you still reach your lighting level. Of course, in this case here, I've provided a sequence with changing sky conditions, so that means just to illustrate how you can manually play around and adjust situations depending on daylight availability. Here on the lower part you have the energy evaluation. So if you go directly to the last point, then you can see that this day in the office costs you €1.24 in energy. If you enter your tariff from the local provider, you can do some accumulation of costs for a day. You also can do manipulations on that timelines. So if you already have prepared some so this is some color, playing around with colors. Of course, you can also see it a little bit better here. Here you have the control panel with the sliders, and you can quickly change colors and make some artistic manipulation and experiments. So it's usable for a wide range of applications, from design, from creativity, to some sound energy and evaluation and checking if artificial light and daylight work together, and to assess how things can be used in a combined format. Also, of course, it's quite vital to have some presentation output, and you can easily create movies with it. This is now that sequence I've made a very coarse daylight sequence of one calculation per hour, so you have a blending of the sun position. Now there is a sunny time with the cloudy sky conditions, luminous switch on, and in the afternoon some decorative effects come into play, and in the end create some ambience with a yellow and red light which signals the people to leave the office and go back home to work. And that's exactly what I'm doing right now. More or less, as I said, I don't make a full presentation, I just want to provide some insights. So, to wrap the things up, it is a very easy and straightforward tool. You have to think that many of the general lighting designers which are using Dialogs, Relux, and that sort of software, so far they haven't yet dared to do really dynamic simulation. So it's a tool where they can start exploring it. Of course, it's not a tool for high-end scientific evaluation. So currently you're limited to a one-day sequence, so you cannot do a complex annual simulation with it. So, of course, but the tool was not made to replace a real scientific application. It's directed to a different user group. It's very versatile. Covers several fields. You can do calculation, visualization, and also presentation stuff with it. It's not only useful to have the data, but the design bureaus, they also always are confronted in how to present their ideas towards the clients. And actually, this is quite an important point too, to have a direct combination of the energy calculation with the information about, or combination of the lighting calculation with information about energy consumption, because as I remember in the 5.5 years at Redux, user questions via the support hotline, they have been increasing. People asking, how can I evaluate my installation in terms of energy consumption? Because the clients want to know that too. And currently there is quite a need of tools which put the designers into the ability of doing some easy, accessible evaluation of energy consumption also. And of course, in the end, to come back to the beginning, it's one example how a Radiance idea finally enters a tool which is used now by a widespread group. Many of the users probably don't even know that it's Radiance technology which is working under the hood. So even if it took quite a long time, in the end, these Radiance ideas are managing it into the general lighting designer's world. And that's for me.
You are starting.
Got it, Klaus, you can start.
I was just curious, after superposition,
yeah.
Do you do tone mapping, or is it, does the user have like an exposure control? Or
there is also a tone mapping feature in it, yeah. I have not shown that. I'm not directly sure how they've done it. In general, so from a visual appearance, I think they have done quite a good job. You can hear there is a tone mapping. That's of course you have the daylight and pick one position. There are bright conditions outside. It's difficult to get this under the 2024 resolution. And there is this tone slider. It also displays a bit the color temperature of the luminous, which is not that easy, but just from a visual appearance, they have done quite a good job that you see a little bit of color effect if you lose one color luminaire contrast to daylight. And so the effects are really visible in the scene. So it's quite straightforward also to visit, be grasped by the clients to which the designers showed it for the project.
You say it's important to consider the lighting energy consumption, yeah, and potential savings. But in order to truly do this, isn't it fair to say that you need to include the thermal calculation? Otherwise, you will have a bias. You will state to your customer that they can expect these and these energy savings through daylight, but then the thermal condition might affect these energy savings based on your HVAC equipment. And then the true savings is completely other figures.
Yeah, but I think that's a question for the designer's bureau to add up all the figures. Now here, at least he has the opportunity to calculate one part of the whole matter. You can calculate what can be achieved by lighting. And the other question, of course, he has to address also, but this tool cannot deliver everything.
But I think some of the next presentations will actually address these topics of how to integrate both.
But still, you have to think that it's directed towards a user group which it's normally not doing this high class scientific evaluations, but it's quite important also at least to bring the people to think in a dynamic way. That's the general strategy also behind the Luminar companies. So it's about lighting quality, just getting the people away from the so far still persistent thinking in just watts per square meter. So this is quite a simple topic, but you cannot challenge too much all in one step, so you have to go and provide smaller steps.
I have a question concerning the calculation plane. If people specify the reflectance, do you inform them that the surface they are selecting has to be diffused to get the correct luminance?
No, they have to know it. I mean, this is a very limited idea. I mean, it stems from the idea. The developers of that tool only operated based on images. So, I've already internally provided the option to do the same with the R-trace results with the tabular data, so you're not limited to an invisible surface. But now I have to convince them to integrate this also in their tools. This is at least there is a possibility there, but it's of course it's a bit limited.
Thank you.